This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Fear of death as a Christian is not from God, declared Pastor Michael Youssef, a broadcaster, through his teaching on his radio program, Leading the Way. It was reported on OnePlace.com, a resource of Salem Communications carrying the broadcast of hundreds of ministries where this broadcast is also carried. Fear of death as a Christian is not from God. Now, how do we know that? We know that because the Apostle Peter said that Christ came to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That's what the Apostle Peter said. And you remember, he was very much afraid at the time when Jesus was being tried, and he denied Jesus three times because of his fear. But then he had a change of heart. The Holy Spirit got a hold of his heart so that on the day of Pentecost, he stood up before thousands of Jewish people that were gathered there. And they saw what had happened as the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the people that were gathered in the upper room. And he said boldly, this is that which was proclaimed by the prophet Joel, that in the last days I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and so on. So the Apostle Peter became very bold. If you were to read the Apostle Peter's letters, 1st and 2nd Peter, you would find how his whole attitude changed toward the subject of persecution and death. You might want to read it. He says that suffering is part of what it means to be a follower of Christ. So he said you shouldn't take it as shocking about the fiery trials that may come upon you, because this is allowing us to be genuinely related to and participate in the life of Christ. Jesus said, if you will take up your cross and follow me, you shall be my disciples. But he said, if you won't take up your cross daily and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. So we're going to take a look at that here today on Viewpoint, even as we see the global persecution of Christians is significantly worsening and authoritarian regimes are becoming more and more repressive. That's true. That's the headline coming from thechristianpost.com. Christians are being terrorized by extreme violence. Terrorized by extreme violence. In other words, there's fear, and fear has torment. Yet we're told to fear not. Do not fear man. What can man do unto you? Well, you say, well, man can cause me a lot of pain. He can cause me to lose my job. He can cause me to be maligned in the culture. He can cause my reputation to be destroyed. He can cause me to be imprisoned. He can cause me to be put to death. In fact, we're going to see all of those here today on Viewpoint. Real cases coming before us, yes, in America and around the world. That's correct. There's a reason why the Lord prompted me to write the book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times. It's because this is that moment. For some reason, the Holy Spirit knew very well what was coming and that it was going to be necessary for Christians, professing Christians and the parents of children, pastors, and so on, to begin to take more seriously the cost of discipleship and what it means to truly follow Jesus in these end times, which we are in, by the way. Exactly where we are in those end times, I'm not here to tell you, and certainly no man knows the day or the hour of Christ's return, but we are told to understand the season and be prepared for it. So this is one of the things that's characteristic of the season. Not only massive deception, but massive persecution. You say, well, that doesn't sound like something I want to hear about. Of course it doesn't. Who wants to hear about that? But we need to hear about it. When my grandchildren, my oldest grandchildren, were in our home, as my daughter was serving as the lead person to kind of manage and man the office for this ministry. She gave us extended privileges to be, shall we say, additional parents. In other words, she gave us parenting authority. She and her husband gave us parenting authority regarding the children because they were living in our home for a considerable amount of time. So when they were young, say ages 3 to 10, I remember very specifically asking them in various ways, well, would you please do this? Would you do that? And their answer was frequently, I don't want to. And so my response was always, then change your want to's. Then change your want to's. And see, that's the problem that you and I face. It's not abnormal. We're human beings, and there's no reason in general why human beings should jump at the option, the not option, but the idea that persecution is coming. That's not something to jump at unless you like to flagellate yourself and to cause yourself extreme pain in order to try to earn some greater favor with God. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about something that was true for Jesus. Jesus said it was true for all of the prophets that came before, and it's going to be true for you and me if we're true followers of Christ. So the Apostle Paul made it clear. He says, look, persecution is going to come upon you if you are a true follower of Jesus Christ. It's just going to happen. It's going to be there. It was there for Paul. You can recite. You can go into what he wrote in Corinthians about all the trials and tribulations that he went through, even on pain of death. They tried to put him to death, was stoned several times, just a variety of different things. Put in prison falsely. Peter and John put in prison falsely because they stood against the religious / political power of the day, which happened to be the high priest and his henchmen. And so this was common. Persecution was common and to be expected in the church, among Christians. In fact, as the Christian faith spread throughout the Gentile world and into the Roman Empire, that's exactly what happened. The Christians were finding themselves worshiping in the catacombs. Why? Because to worship openly in more open situations would bring terrifying persecution upon them. They might even be thrown into the lion's den, so to speak, into the Colosseum to be devoured by wild animals, all for the entertainment of Caesar and his rich friends. So this is what we're looking at, and we need to be prepared. If you don't want to, then change your want to's. That's the point. If you don't want to, then we must change our want to's. Pastors, if you don't want to talk about it, you must do so. Change your want to's. We'll be right back and look specifically at things that are developing in this country and abroad.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
It's the fear of man and the fear of death that becomes the final test of our trust as Christians. I call it the power of pressure, because the word pressure comes from the Greek word thlipsis, which means pressure. And that word was translated tribulation in our Bibles. But the better word, probably for our understanding, so that we don't get engrossed in so many of these eschatological arguments about the word tribulation. For practical purposes, let's call it pressure. So here's what we're going to experience. We're first going to experience a growing pressure against Christians. We're experiencing that in our country. We're experiencing that in Europe. The rest of the world is experiencing it in much greater proportions, as we shall soon see. But it's all pressure. And pressure comes in various levels. You can put a variety of pressure today. For instance, I received a much-needed massage in a chiropractic office because of certain kinks and so on in my body and some spasms that were developing in my back. And so the massage therapist, as he was going over my back, I noticed that he was applying unusually hard pressure from that which I had previously experienced from him. Pressure. I said, I note that you're putting a considerable amount of pressure on, and it was painful. But no pain, no gain. So we recognized that, and I said, ooh, ow, you know, and responded to it. But I knew that it was necessary for that to happen in order to produce the result for which I was actually paying there to happen. So pressure increases. You can have a certain modest amount of pressure. You can increase the pressure. You can increase it even more so. And many of the tools that we have in the trade, so to speak, are tools to create pressure. For instance, a vise that's put on a workbench is there to create pressure. You want to have enough pressure to where it grips a piece of wood or a piece of metal or whatever it is to hold it steady. Pressure. But then there's a kind of pressure that's crushing pressure. There are actual machines that are designed to take your automobile and crush it into almost non-existent, crush it flat. You've probably seen illustrations of that, the cars that were crushed flat. How does that happen? It happens through immense pressure. Diamonds are created by immense pressure, even greater pressure, over thousands of years. Pressure. Pressure is both necessary, but it also can be very painful. But it produces something. Pressure is used to produce something. And people will say, well, why would God allow persecution to his people? Because he wants to produce something. He wants to produce us as a gem, so to speak, in his kingdom. He wants us to be pure and holy. What happens, I personally don't drink wine, but grapes are, wine is produced under pressure. As I understand it, grapes have to be crushed and they produce the liquid that turns into wine. Pressure. So the idea of pressure should not come as that unusual. What we don't understand or aren't willing to understand is that it actually is, in a strange kind of way, God's will that we be pressurized in order to prove that we can endure testing and temptation. It proves our faith. It proves our willingness to endure. It proves our patience amid difficult times. So it's the power of pressure. And before we go further, I would like to make available to you my book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times. Many of you have it. Many of you do not have it yet, and you need to get it. This is I believe it's a God-ordained testimony of mercy to God's people to prepare when very few people are willing to do so. Pastors are afraid to prepare their people for persecution because they know the subject doesn't sell well. It's not a marketable subject. It's not designed to grow big churches, but it is designed to grow strong Christians. You see, there's a difference. So if you want to be a strong Christian, you want to be able to endure in the increasingly difficult times that are coming upon us, yes, on Americans, then I urge you to get a copy of the book. When Persecution Comes, Preparing Our Hearts for Perilous Times. $25, we'll put it in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, and you can write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check, add $6 for postage and handing. By the way, if you want to buy the book in bulk, save for use in small groups, pastors want to get it for their congregations, then we will provide it at a substantial discount to be able to do that, okay? Just a couple of days ago, we received a call from a longtime ministry in the Midwest that actually airs its radio program across the country, and they ordered two cases of these books. Why? Because they had asked me to join them on the air to talk about it, and apparently they had a very considerable response, and that's wonderful. That's a good thing. The power of pressure. Remember, the fear of man and the fear of death become the final test of our trust. So let's break this down a bit with some of the most recent reports that have come out just in the last couple days. Global persecution of Christians significantly worse. Authoritarian regimes more repressive. This is a report that came from Christianity Today. Christians are being terrorized by extreme violence. The persecution of Christians worldwide has significantly worsened just in the last year. According to Aid to the Church in Need and their recent report, Christians are living under increased threat of violence, discrimination, and other human rights abuses. The report analyzed data across 18 countries of particular concern between the summers of 2022 and 2024. And key findings included a shift in the epicenter of militant Islam violence from the Middle East to Africa, with Christians being terrorized by extreme violence for their faith in places like Burkina Faso, Nigeria, and Mozambique. Authoritarian regimes like China, Eritrea, India, and Iran have become more repressive, resulting in the increasing targeting of Christians as enemies of the state or their local community. Christian children, especially girls, are living in increased risk of abduction, sexual violence, forced marriages, and forced conversion. In some places, Christians are being caught up in the weaponization of legislation to criminalize acts deemed disrespectful to the state religion. And we're going to see one of those in just a few minutes. Christians are being imprisoned in a number of countries for their faith, including Eritrea, where around 400 men have been imprisoned without trial. In Iran, Christians detained for their faith rose from 59 in 2021 to 166 in 2023. And estimates to the number of Christians imprisoned in China range from the low thousands to around 10,000. In India, there's been an increase in recorded attacks. Other instances of persecution against Christians rising from 600 in 2022 to 720 the following year. In Myanmar, the military has been accused of destroying over 200 places of worship, including 85 churches. In some countries, years of persecution and sometimes conflict have led to an exodus of Christians, like in Syria. It's estimated that only a quarter of a million Christians remain in Syria, compared to over 1.5 million just 12 years ago. In Iraq, the Christian population has dwindled from around 1 million 20 years ago to fewer than 200,000 today. The report was launched in the UK. Parliament just this week reads mass migration of Christian communities triggered by militant Islamist attacks has destabilized and disenfranchised them, raising questions about the long-term survival of the Church of Jesus Christ in key regions of the world. A report also states from Parliament, authoritarian regimes, including those in China, Eritrea, India, and Iran, ramped up repressive measures against Christians, either in the name of religious nationalism or state secularism or communism. So, this is what is happening, and you may wonder, well, I think I've heard reports similar to that. Yes, similar to that, but this is an increasing. This is showing the increasing pressure that is coming around the world. And it's migrating. It's migrating west. So when we take a look at some of the areas in which it is migrating, like right here in America. And then we'll go back to Pakistan, we'll go back to China, and see furthermore what's happening there and how it's happening. But here is a black woman, activist, Beverly Beattie Williams. She appeared on CBN News in a 2020 interview. She's a pro-life activist, and now she's in prison. Why is she in prison? Because she had the temerity to resist abortion. She had the chutzpah, you might say, to say, look, this is wrong. This is contrary to God's word, will, and ways. It's the murder of life, and I need to stand against it as a Christian. So she's just reported to prison for her engagement in just that effort. And so she's encouraging Americans to elect leaders who will stand for justice and be the beaming light that you were called to be, as she vows to preach the gospel in her incarceration, just like Peter and John did, just like Paul did. You see, they're going to seize every possible moment, every possible opportunity in order to teach and preach the gospel. And so Beverly Beattie Williams was sentenced to 41 months in federal prison for resisting abortion. She is now serving time in prison following an unsuccessful effort to overturn her conviction, which subjects anyone who attempts to interfere with abortions to serve federal charges. She said, "My family and I remain hopeful and are trusting God through this challenging time." But she said, "The Bible is clear. The persecution will happen. Our job as Christians is to be a light, especially in dark places, like even in the prison where she's being now incarcerated." She says, "Please don't forget to vote and do all you can to elect leaders who stand for justice," she continued. "You all cannot let Vice President Kamala Harris," she said, "get into office." This is what she said. She's a black woman now. She says you can't allow her to get in. She pointed to Harris's career as a prosecutor as evidence that she gets a joy out of prosecuting her political opponents. She also cited her conviction as a project of a feminist movement and a Jezebel spirit trying to get in to the White House and rule as Jezebel did over Israel in the days of Ahab the king. I'm just sharing with you, this is the latest report. Following that came this from the Christian Post. Michael Grabowski has written this piece. It's entitled, "Kamala Harris Says No to Religious Exemptions in National Abortion Law If Elected." Now, you might say this is political. Well, it does have political ramifications, and it's presented in the context of a political election. But the root of it is spiritual, just like Ms. Williams said. Beverly Beattie Williams said, this is a spiritual issue, and you cannot allow this Jezebel spirit to enter the White House. We'll share when we get back the rest of what she said here. Let you make the decision. Is this a form of persecution? We'll see. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries
on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
This morning I was interviewed by a black couple who does a podcast. They've been doing this for years now. And they asked me to come on to talk to them about the book Persecution, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times. I was astounded at how passionate they were about that book. It was incredible. What a time we had together, sharing the truth of God's word and applying it practically in our lives. They have six kids. The oldest is 17, and they see how persecution is coming. And they're trying to prepare their family. And they want to prepare the family of God. And that's why they were on the air with their podcast, and that's why they brought me on to talk about this subject. It was wonderful. We could see the passion coming interrelated between us as we chatted together on that podcast. Well, here is a writing from Michael Grabowski. He is writing for the Christian Post, and he says, Kamala Harris says no to religious exemptions in national abortion law if elected. So as I share this with you, you may have already heard about this, but as I share this with you, I want you to ask yourself the rhetorical question, does this constitute a form of persecution? So, Kamala Harris has said she opposes any concessions on a national abortion law if she's elected president, rejecting any proposal that would include possible religious exemptions. Now, that's the issue. On Tuesday, she was asked about her plan to pass a federal law legalizing elective abortion nationwide and was asked, if you win, it is entirely possible that Congress will be controlled by Republicans. So what specific concessions would you be willing to make in order to get something done on abortion access as soon as possible? For instance, if it were a question of pragmatism, she was asked, when dealing with Congress, what concessions would be on the table, citing religious exemptions as an example? Here's what Kamala Harris said. I don't think we should be making concessions when we're talking about a fundamental freedom to make decisions about your own body. That's what Harris said. First of all, it's not a fundamental freedom. You can't find it in the Constitution. It's not a fundamental freedom. You can call it what you will, but it's not a fundamental freedom. So she said, no. That's off the table. No concessions for religious exemptions. So, what does that mean? Well, here's what it means. A group, the Center for Baptist Leadership, were quick to denounce those comments, labeling them absolutely chilling. This means that all Christian hospitals, healthcare providers, businesses, insurance companies, and so on would be forced to provide and cover abortion if Kamala Harris got her way. It would be the end of the First Amendment and religious liberty as we know it. That was the viewpoint of the Baptist organization, the Center for Baptist Leadership. So what would be your viewpoint? Would you consider that to be a form of persecution, to compel people to bow down to the state and kill and pay for the killing of babies when God calls it murder? Or when you're when you are deeply convinced in your heart that that would be murder, what are you going to do? How is that any different than King Nebuchadnezzar building a monstrous statue of himself 60 cubits high and commanding that everyone in the realm at the sound of the trumpet bow down, and those who will not bow down will be thrown in the fiery furnace? What's the difference? There is no difference. What Kamala Harris is doing, and this is a very common thing now that is being pressured upon the country through wokeism that is being converted into law, called lawfare, warfare against Christians. That's what this really is. So if you don't bow down and do what she says, what's going to happen? Suppose you're a hospital and you say, no, we're not going to do that. Suppose you are an insurance company, Christian-based, and you say, no, we're not going to do that. Suppose you're a doctor and you say, no, we're not going to do that. We're Christians here. Suppose you're a business and you say, no, we're not going to pay insurance and that for the killing of babies. What are you going to do? Well, Kamala Harris says, we're not going to give you any excuse. We're not going to give you any exemption. We're going to bring the full force of government upon you. So she's going to start, while she is letting masses, millions and millions of illegal immigrants into the country, she's going to pick up masses and masses of Christians to put them into prison because they will not bow down to her. So this election may actually have nuances about it that you haven't considered. Consider that. This week, a couple of days ago, Donald Trump came out and he said publicly, I will do everything I can to protect Christians in the world from this growing persecution that's coming upon them. That's what he said. So you can make your choice. You have a choice to make, and you will make it. So I'm giving you more and more information upon which you can make that choice. But if you can't handle this level of persecution, how in the world are you going to handle it when the mark of the beast is passed out? And you think you're not even going to be here, don't you? You have been told by somebody that you're not even going to have to be concerned about any of that because you're out of here, right? Then why did Jesus talk about it? Why did Paul talk about it? Why did Peter talk about it? Why did John in the book of Revelation talk about it? You see, we're just fooling ourselves. We're playing pretend. All of those apostles and Jesus himself said, you got to be prepared because he that endures to end and only he that endures to the end shall be saved. And by enduring to the end, he did not mean live to the end. He meant stand fast in the faith without succumbing, without capitulating, in spite of fear and threat of death. Here's a Christian man sentenced to death over a TikTok video. That's right, you got it right. A young Christian man in Pakistan has been sentenced to death for allegedly uploading a blasphemous video to TikTok, which he didn't do, by the way. His name is Masi, 27 years of age. He was arrested after authorities claimed that his account contained an image of a blasphemous letter that helped trigger a riot in 2023. And a reposting of that on TikTok came apparently from his cell phone. So what happened here? Well, on June 29th, an anti-terrorism court convicted Masai and sentenced him to death for defiling the name of the Prophet Muhammad. And in addition to the death sentence, he was sentenced to 10 years of imprisonment and fined $1,795, which is a massive amount of money in Pakistan. Now, during the unrest in the area of Pakistan, in 2023, over 25 churches were burned, homes belonging to Christian families were looted and destroyed by rioters. Would you call that persecution? So now they're blaming it all on this 127-year-old guy. But Masai's family vehemently denies the allegations and is seeking justice from a higher court, arguing that the verdict was reached without a real investigation and under significant religious bias. In fact, in Pakistan, you're deemed guilty upon an allegation of blasphemy. And the mandatory sentence is death. So what really happened here? This is a very common story. His brother claimed that a dispute over a motorcycle payment sparked the ordeal. A fellow by the name of Hassan had helped, Masai had helped a Muslim friend purchase a motorcycle on installments from a local bank. But when the friend stopped making payments, Masai asked him to return it. But in retaliation, the friend orchestrated a plan against Masai. I'm going to get you, in other words. The blasphemous TikTok video shared from his account was not posted by Masai himself. His friends, who took his phone without his knowledge, used it to frame him in a false case. They exploited his innocence, his relatively illiteracy, lack of digital literacy, and naivete to settle their own grudge. And for that, he must die, according to the courts. This is such a common practice, friends, in Pakistan. It's unbelievable. And you think there isn't persecution out there? Oh, wait till we get to China. We go there next. Where is AI in the business to track and repress Christians? That's where we go next. Stay tuned.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Earlier in the program, we talked about fear and we talked about the power of pressure. Pressure creates fear, or at least it facilitates a response of fear if we are fearful. And fear has power. It really does. Faith has power, but so does fear. So what we're talking about ultimately in the matter of when we talk about persecution, we're talking about whether or not we are really people of true faith or whether we're motivated primarily by fear. Remember the passage that we so often quote, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So who gives us the spirit of fear then? Where does it come from? It comes from the enemy of your soul. Because you become a soulish person and allow your mind, will, and emotions to overcome your spirit, which is under faith. And if we allow that to continue, it's not that no human being or none of us ever succumbs to fear in any given particular kind of situation. That would render us to be equal to Jesus, wouldn't it? No, we've all sinned. We've all allowed fear to govern us in some way, little or great, at some time. So when the Bible says fear has torment, we understand that. That's what fear does. It brings us torment. It persecutes us. It rises against life. It rises against liberty. And so it imprisons us. So the Apostle Paul writes that that Jesus came to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Fear of death. Okay, so Paul says, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Oh, we let that roll off our tongues pretty easily, don't we? But Paul really meant it. He faced persecution like the majority of people will never face, over and over and over and over again. In fact, God even told him, look, you're going to be my mouthpiece to the Gentiles, but you're going to go through perils and trials and tribulations, persecution like nobody's ever seen. And that's exactly what happened to the Apostle Paul, the guy who first persecuted Christians. Amazing. God used him. But let's go to China and Iran for a moment. Another report, how Iran and China are using AI to track and repress Christians like never before. Oppressive regimes like China and Iran are using artificial intelligence tools like facial recognition technology to track and repress Christians at a level that wasn't available to them before, said the chair of the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom. So this isn't coming from some church group. This is coming from our own government. So it's a very concerning development and something that we want to keep an eye on, said Stephen Schenck, a former dean and professor at the Catholic University of America. In China, facial recognition techniques allow the Chinese Communist Party to monitor those who attend religious ceremonies, and so it enables them to track them and to repress them at a level that wasn't available to them before. And similar technologies are available around the world. It's truly Orwellian, says this representative of the government agency that is looking at this. I fear the shape of the world to come, he said. Mr. Schenck made his comments this week ahead of the International Ministerial Conference on Freedom of Religion or Belief in Berlin. Actually, it was last week. They were focusing on how authoritarian regimes are leveraging AI to monitor and repress religious groups, particularly Christians. Around the world, persecution of religion is spiking, for the most part because of rising authoritarianism and the erosion of true democracy. Well, friends, did you know that one called Kamala Harris is accusing the other side of being the arch enemy of democracy, Hitlerian, Hitler in disguise, when in fact, that's exactly what her modus operandi is. She's accusing her opponent of the very thing of which she is most guilty, the very spirit, the Jezebel spirit. It's amazing. And people are buying it. It is she that is the enemy of the democratic spirit. She is the enemy of the republic. It is her views that want to suppress the Christian faith, that want to advance the cause of wokeism in all of its expressions, whether it be homosexuality, transgenderism, all of those things. She actually joyfully and gleefully said so on national television. The more woke, the better, she said. In other words, the more we embrace these views, these cultural views that are contrary to the Bible, the better off we are. That's the reason why, friends, just this week, she said in the midst of one of her rallies, when somebody raised up a banner, Jesus is Lord, and somebody cried out, Christ is King, she responded saying, you're in the wrong rally. You don't belong here. Go to that other one down the street. In other words, where Donald Trump is. What was she saying? She's saying, we don't embrace the view that Jesus is King or Lord. So what is King or Lord? The government, the state. Friends, that is authoritarianism in full color. Now we go back to China. The truth is that authoritarian governments don't want their citizens to appeal to any source of right or truth or authority outside the state or outside the party. And so religion fundamentally is an inherent challenge to authoritarian regimes. That's exactly what Kamala Harris was saying this week from her rally. You don't belong here. The whole idea that Jesus is Lord or Jesus is King doesn't resonate in this rally. That's not what we're about. Are you listening? Again, back to China. China's investments in AI, projected to reach a third of global AI spending by 2027, are part of a larger plan to establish itself as the world's AI superpower by 2030. Oh, there's the date again, 2030. It keeps coming up, 2030, the Great Reset, the UN 2030 agenda, and so on. Beijing's use of AI in human rights abuses, particularly against religious minorities, serves as a testing ground for AI-enhanced social control, which it could export to other authoritarian regimes. The Southern Baptist Convention and the World Evangelical Alliance recently expressed concerns about the implication of AI on human identity and free will. The resolution emphasized that Christians must proactively shape these emerging technologies rather than simply respond to the challenges of AI. Because of the fall, we have been adversely affected in every aspect of creation, they said, including the development and use of these powerful innovations, and may produce dangerous and dehumanizing outcomes. Another name for persecution of Christians. You say, where do you get all this? Well, you know, I prepare like a good trial lawyer. I'm always preparing. I'm waiting for the Lord to lead me to the kinds of information that are necessary to communicate the message that God wants his people to hear for such a time as this. And so today we're talking again about the power of pressure, pressure being
ultimately persecution. It's the fear of man and the fear of death that's become the final test of our trust. So the scriptures make it very clear that fear has incredible power. Legitimate fear can protect us from the consequences of our negligence or intentional exposure to a host of dangers that occur throughout our years here. There are all kinds of threats. The fallout of sin that has corrupted our world through the fall of man. But there's a more dangerous and consequential fear beyond these that easily besets us. It's the fear of man and the fear of death. The fear of man, the Bible says, is a snare to our soul, to our mind, will, and emotions. But the fear of death defines destiny, controlling our minds and hearts, and strips us of both faith and freedom, and so it secures eternal bondage. So we've been forewarned, so we could be forearmed against this ultimate temptation. So here's what the apostle, here's what it says in the book of Hebrews. For as much as Jesus became and took part of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Do you recall that in the Bible? Do you believe that? Fear of death subjects us to bondage. So it puts all new meaning on the Apostle Paul's words, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But in America, we don't necessarily believe that. It's a theory. It sounds nice, but it isn't translated into reality in our lives. But it is going to be. It increasingly is being translated because the pressure is building. So fear of death is ultimate bondage. It compels us like slaves to do the devil's bidding, to yield to his deceptions, and to conform to his counterfeit kingdom ways. So it disqualifies us by our own decisions to an eternally undesirable destiny. It's the fear of man and the fear of death that become the final test of our trust in Jesus as our Savior, as our Messiah. So the pressure that we allow to prevail through these two fears, fear of man and fear of death, will painfully, yet indeed prophetically, lead masses of professing believers to succumb to the seducer's consummate plan to rule and reign over their lives. Exchanging by that, yielding to the fear of man and the fear of death, exchanging the hope of eternal salvation for the temporal hope of protection of physical life. And that, my friends, is what the mark of the beast is all about. You can find it again in Revelation chapter 13 and 14. So how is such pressure brought to bear? Well, it's like a boa constrictor, crushing its prey gradually until we declare our trust in a counterfeit savior and thus fail the ultimate test of life itself. No wonder Jesus said, he that endures to the end shall be saved. And so God wants you to endure. He wants you to persevere. He wants you to be faithful. He wants you to count it all joy when you're put under various trials and temptations and pressure, because it's for the perfection of your faith. Get a copy of the book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times, $25 on our website, saveus.org. Write to us, add $6 for postage and handling, call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. And friends, let's take seriously this. It's an expression of God's mercy for these increasingly tough times.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.